is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a great song today and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Jude, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, Dr. Green is looking at verse 6, the judgment of the great day. So stay tuned for that in just a little bit. But I do want to tell you about our new gift offer for this week. I'll tell you all about it after the message today, but it does contain a verse-by-verse study of another book of the Bible on CDs as preached by Dr. Green, as well as two great books. So listen after the message for that. But right now, let's hear I Found a Friend, and then Dr. Green.
Found a friend, oh, such a friend. Christ loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him, and round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his, and Christ is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are his, and his forever.
I found a friend, oh, such a friend. All power to him is given. He guards me on my onward course and brings me safe to heaven.
Eternal glories gleam afar to nerve my faint endeavor. So now to watch, to work, to war, and then to rest forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever. Shall life or death or earth or hell, no, I am his forever.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Have your Bibles open at Jude. The book of Jude we'll study after I pray. Direct us, our Father, as we continue our study of this epistle, given for our admonition, our instruction, our enlightenment. Direct us today as we study in Jesus' name. Save the soul that's nearest hell and revive the indifferent, build up believers in the inner man. For Christ's sake, he's worthy. Amen. On the last broadcast, I read verses 5 through 7 and I finished discussing verse 6. By way of brief review, we have in these verses the instances of apostasy and the result. Now, first of all, the Holy Spirit speaks to Jude and he gives to us the example of the elect nation, the apple of God's eye. Now, that's what Israel, the elect nation, is referred to in the Old Testament, the apple of God's eye, his beloved. And Israel as a nation was the elect of God. But he said, I want to remind you, you knew this, but the Lord saved the people out of Egypt and then destroyed them that believed not. Now, he delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, but he destroyed those who refused to believe God. Now, you cannot please God apart from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11. And so these people were delivered in a miraculous way, and yet in spite of the miracle, they rejected God as their God and as their spiritual redeemer and deliverer. They appreciated the deliverance physically, but they didn't believe on him in their heart, and so he destroyed them. Then he reminds us of angels. He gives three examples. Number one, the elect nation. God did not spare them just because they were the elect nation. He spared those who believed and destroyed those who did not. Then the angels that kept not their first estate, that is, they departed from their natural habitation and they invaded other realms that were not natural but unnatural to them. And so they left their first estate. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Now, the judgment of the great day, that's what we have here. And many people do not understand that there are yet judgments, plural, more than one. Now, what do I mean by that? Many people today believe in a general resurrection and a general judgment. What do you say? Don't you believe in that, Brother Green? No, I don't believe in a general resurrection and a general judgment. I certainly do not. I believe that when the rapture occurs, according to the clear teaching of the New Testament, believers will be judged for their stewardship, not whether they're saved or lost. That is not the question with believers. Whether you're saved or lost will be decided before you die or before you go out to meet God. Now, when believers are caught up in the rapture, we will meet Jesus in the clouds in the air, and believers will be judged for their stewardship. If we've been faithful, and if we have built upon the foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, we'll receive a reward. But if we have built wood, hay, and stubble, our works will be burned. But we will be saved, yet so as by fire. The spirit will be saved, the stewardship destroyed. The spirit saved, works destroyed. The spirit saved, but without reward, insofar as stewardship brings reward. If we're faithful in a little, he will reward us much. Men are rewarded according to their faithfulness, not according to how much they did, but how faithfully they discharged the opportunities or bought up the opportunities and discharged the duties that they had as a believer. Now, if we give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, if that's all we can give, we'll have a reward. But if we give a cup of cold water when we could give $1 million, then we won't have any reward. Now, that's right. That's right. If you give a dollar when you could give 10, then, my friend, you're not doing your duty, and you're not buying up the opportunity that is yours. God doesn't judge according to the size, but he judges the heart. And if a person is able to do something, but they refuse to do it, it's simply because they are selfish and they want to keep their time, their energy, their money, and I could go on for themselves. We are to give. Love gives. And we are to sacrifice. God sacrificed his son. The son sacrificed his blood. And we are to not only give willingly, but sacrificially to the glory of God. And when we do, we receive a full reward. But if we fail, if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. And if we sow to the flesh, we lose everything except the spirit. We have the account in the Corinthian letter of a young man. And Paul said, turn him, when you meet together in the church, turn him over to Satan to destroy the flesh that the spirit may be saved. You can't deny that. Destroy the flesh that the spirit may be saved. And so there is such a thing as a believer entering heaven without a reward. And there is such a thing as a believer entering heaven without a full reward. Now that's stewardship. And we'll be judged for our stewardship at the marriage supper. Then, when the millennium comes to a close, and when God destroys the armies of Antichrist, and then when God brings into judgment at the great white throne the dead and all that have died in wickedness and sin, that will be the judgment of the great day, when God judges the wicked. And there will not be one born again believer judged. We will be with Jesus. We will sit with him. But we will not be on the judgment side. We'll be on the side with the judge, not to be judged, but to sit with him as he in righteousness will judge the wicked. You have the account in Revelation. In Revelation, John saw, and I'm turning. I didn't intend to, but I am, because I realize that some of you may need this. In Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne, a great white throne, a great judgment day. Now watch this. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Books and the book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, B-O-O-K-S plural, according to their works. They were judged according to their works. All right? And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. This is not a judgment for salvation or whether one is saved or lost. This is a judgment where men will be rewarded according to their wickedness. If you think there's just one big hell and everybody drops into hell and everybody burns in the same fire to the same degree, you just don't know your Bible. And if you think there's one big heaven and every Christian goes there and every Christian will be identical in every minute detail of everything, then you just don't know your Bible. There are believers who will receive a full reward. There are some who will receive a 90%, some 75, some 50, some 25. Where's your scripture for that, preacher? You'll be judged according, well, I guess now I'll have to read some more scripture, but let me finish this and then I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. All right, listen to this. Sea gave up the dead, death and hell's on, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, the lake of fire. All wicked spirits are in hell today, but there is a day coming when hell itself will be cast into the eternal lake of fire, where the spirits of the wicked will be tormented forever and ever and ever eternally. Now, you say, I don't understand that, preacher. All right, I'll tell you how it is. Now, just listen, and this may be too simple for you, but after all, it's the simple gospel and a simple illustration that gets the point across. Jesus used a hen and her little chickens. He used the lily. He used the little sparrow, Now let me use something that you know about. Here's a man. He commits a brutal murder. He just brutally murders a man or a woman or a little child, we'll say. And so they arrest him. What do they do with him? They put him in jail. And many times he's in jail without bond. And then they bring him from the jail to the courtroom, and the judge sits in his seat and the jurors in their seats. And the man is brought to trial. And then when sentenced, when he's found guilty and sentenced, they take him to the penitentiary. Now, the jail, in the spiritual sense of illustrating this, the jail is hell. The judge and the courtroom is the judgment of the great white throne, the great judgment. And then the penitentiary is the lake of fire. Now, I mean by the man may be given life in the pen, life in the penitentiary. So he is put in a temporary cell. He is kept there until he is tried and judged, and then he is sent to the penitentiary for life. Now, the wicked man that dies, he drops into hell immediately. You say, I don't believe that. That doesn't make any difference what you believe. I heard someone make a statement on the radio some time ago. I have a perfect right to believe what I want to. I beg your pardon. You can believe what you want to, but you can't believe what you want to and go to heaven. You can't believe what you want to and do business with God Almighty. If you do business with God Almighty that made all things, if you do business with Him, you'll believe what He tells you to believe. And he has a right to do it. He has a right to do it. All right. So it doesn't make any difference what you believe about hell. When a wicked man dies, he drops into hell immediately. He'll stay there until the great white throne judgment. Then he'll be brought out before the judge and sentenced to the lake of fire. And according to the degree, now listen, according to the degree of his wickedness, he'll suffer throughout eternity. If you think Hitler will suffer, and I'm sure, I can't prove that he's in hell. I haven't been there to see, and I'm not going. But according to the way he lived and died, I don't think he could be anywhere else. Some people believe he's alive. I don't. I don't believe Hitler's alive. And you know as well as I do the life he lived and the death he died. He couldn't be anywhere else but in hell. Now, if you think that Hitler will suffer in eternity the same degree of suffering as some person right here, that maybe a young person brought up in a bootlegger's home, a gangster's home, a bank robber's home, never had a chance to hear the gospel. They never heard grace at the table, never heard their parents pray. And then maybe that a young person is killed in an accident and they're lost. Well, they're lost and they'll go to hell. That is, they'll drop into hell, but they will not suffer the same degree of torment that men like Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and other murderers and other ungodly people will suffer throughout eternity. That's Bible. That's Bible. God couldn't be a just God. God could not be a just God if it was any other way. Now let me read this. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that settles it. That is the great judgment. The great judgment. Now I don't have time to do justice to this, but I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now that's the foundation. He is not that. He is the foundation. Now that's 1 Corinthians 3:11. So we read in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort, S-O-R-T, sort, whether it's gold and silver or whether it's wood, hay, and so on. Now, what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, I could read on, there are many other verses. In 2 John, the second epistle of John, he warns us to beware of these teachers and preachers and so forth, and not to support anyone that does not bring the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you do, you'll lose your reward. He said that you might receive a full reward. And so if there is such a thing as a full reward, then there must be a partial reward. Now, there is, and I'm reading, for many deceivers enter in the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves, watch yourselves, be careful, John says, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. All right, but that we receive a full reward. Now in the next verse, verses 9, 10, 11, John clearly states, if anyone should come and bring any doctrine except the doctrine of Jesus Christ, do not invite him into your house, do not bid him Godspeed. If you do, you're a partaker, you are a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, believers will receive a just reward from the hand of a just God. You will receive all that's coming to you because of your faithfulness to God. Sinners, those who die, will be judged according to your wickedness, and you will receive from the hand of Almighty God justice and righteous judgment. He'll judge you right, and all the torment that you deserve, you will receive, but not one bit more. That is, you'll receive all of the suffering and all of the torment throughout eternity that you should receive, but you'll not suffer any more than you deserve as a wicked sinner or just an ordinary sinner. So think about it and remember that the great judgment day is coming. Israel did not get by. Angels did not get by. And Sodom and Gomorrah did not escape. And we'll talk about this more on the next broadcast. The thing that I want to talk about right now, are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? Are you saved by grace? If you're not, you're on the road to judgment now. And I beg you to surrender your heart to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, for Jesus' sake, honor, and glory, I beseech thee, O God, save the soul that's nearest hell. Strengthen believers, reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent. And we'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, he's worthy. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I know that many of you do not get to hear the program every day due to work or other reasons, and you may have already missed hearing about our new gift offer V, and that's what I want to tell you about. But just as a reminder, if you do miss a program, you can always get that day's program by writing, calling, or emailing us at the Gospel Hour. We're happy to send you a daily program. We just ask that you donate at least $5 to the ministry to help us cover the cost. But right now, I want to tell you about our gift offer V, containing two books and a collection of messages on a book of the Bible by my dad preached on the radio. And all of this is available to you if you simply ask for Gift Offer V and send a donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $30 or more. Pray about it, ask the Lord's guidance, and do as He directs. And if you could add an extra $10, $20, $30, that would surely be appreciated, and you will be blessed for your generous donations. But if you can send a donation of at least $30 and ask for Gift Offer V, I'm going to send you a very interesting book, originally written by my dad, and expanded on and worked on by my mother after his death, early in his ministry, he wrote a book entitled James, Servant of God, a very short book, a study of James. Then Mother realized it really needed to be fleshed out from later on in his ministry, so she edited and expanded this book from writings of my dad and independent research, and it's a wonderful book of study, especially to go along with the CDs that I'm offering you, the verse-by-verse study of the book of James, originally preached by my dad on the radio, 26 sermons in all on 9 compact discs. So the CD study and the book study make wonderful companions to work from. Then finally, we have Bible Questions Asked Most, a book by my mother, compiled of questions that listeners wrote into the program over the years. And of course, we'd get the same question again and again. So these are the ones that were asked the most. 226 questions in all, 206 pages. The last question in the book is, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? Do you know? Well, this book will tell you. So to get both the books and the CD study, just ask for offer V and send your gift of at least $30. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.